Hey friends, I'm Ashley.
Hey you guys,
I'm Lainey.
And this is Haunted Real Estate.
Hey.
Hello.
Welcome to our special 50th episode of Haunted Real Estate.
We are 50.
We're 50 today. Can you friggin' believe it?
That's so crazy, man.
So, I don't know. Do we have anything we want to say for our 50th episode? Cue the harp. Let's remember back. Remember when we shared a microphone?
Yes.
That was funny. And I was like, Lainey, get closer. And we'd be like cheek to cheek.
Yeah, I love being that close to my sister.
Yeah, totally. And then there were the closet days where we were in the closet because I could not figure out audio and the clothes like dampened it a little bit. But then it like dampened it too much and it sounded like...
Yeah, we were in some kind of hole.
Yeah, it did sound like we were in a hole. That was so weird. And then that's when I got the cricket in my hair because we were sitting in camper chairs. So... Yeah, that was on the Huska Castle episode. That's literally... I know we were in the closet for a couple of episodes, but like that's the only memory I'm really taking away.
Same.
That's weird.
It's been 50 episodes, but it has been like a year and a half, so it's not like that consistent.
And we were still sharing a microphone in the dark in the closet because we had to have spooky vibes, so I didn't want like harsh closet lights.
Yeah.
So anyway, now we're back in the office with two separate microphones.
I know.
That are much more conducive to podcasting.
We've got soundproofing on the walls.
Yeah.
We're like profesh.
We're so profesh. Okay, so for today's episode, I think it's a little bit spookier than normal, but I guess let's see how... You know, it's received.
I have no idea what this is about, so I'm excited.
So it started when I was just looking at reels or TikToks, probably reels, because I don't do much on TikTok. And it was rules that people live by in the Appalachian Mountains. And I was like, what the heck? And it honestly scared me, but then it also sent me down a rabbit hole, but it really did spook me. Let's talk about some of the rules to live by for the those that live or visit the Appalachian Mountains.
Okay.
Never be in the woods after dark.
That seems pretty obvious.
Obvious, but like kind of scary.
Yeah. Like why can't I go out there?
Yeah.
What is there?
But that's to me the question, but why? Like I need you to tell me why. Like tell me it's a wolf or is it an entity?
Yeah.
You know, why?
It's a boogeyman.
This one is more obvious and I think just good advice. Never leave a marked trail. They're marked for a reason. People do get lost there. And there was actually a story of a woman not that long ago that her husband was supposed to meet her in different stopping points because she was hiking by herself, like a long hike. Husband, you know, never got to her. She never showed up where she was supposed to show up. And then she was only 30 minutes like off the trail.
Oh.
But she lost it.
And she died?
She died.
How?
It was days that she got stuck out there.
Starvation?
Yeah. I think it was starvation. Don't quote me on that. I'm not here to report that story. I had actually seen that, I think, in part of the research. Just it came across.
Well, you heard it here from Ashley. She died in 2023 of starvation.
2023?
Wow. I mixed those together.
You did.
I suck at numbers.
Okay. If you hear your name being called in the woods, don't respond. What is that about?
If someone said my name,
how would you not turn around?
Yeah. Just ignore it. Just Lainey.
Keep walking.
Yes.
That's what they say. And if you look at anybody that's like advising you on the Appalachia area, don't respond to your name being called, which is really creepy because it talks about things stalking you in the woods.
That creeps me out.
Yes.
I don't like
that. And that alone is, I was like, I need to learn more about this area.
Yeah.
If you hear voices close to you, they're actually far away. If you hear voices far away, they are near you. And again, don't respond. Because again, things are stalking you and testing you.
Silently hike. That's and not in the dark.
Here's another one. Don't whistle or sing in the woods.
Oh, well, like there goes my tour of the Appalachian trails.
And these are all woods related, by the way. And then the other one is never look too hard at the trees because something might be staring back at you.
Oh, great.
That's true, especially at night. So you can find all these tips in on Reels, on TikToks, or just search it on Google. But yeah, they made me think, like, what the heck is going on in Appalachia? I have to know. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a ton of different ways to pronounce Appalachia. Well, by that, I mean, I've gone through three. Appalachia, if you're local, I think they say Appalachia. Appalachia, if you're not local, like, I feel like I'm not worthy of saying Appalachia, so I'm going to say Appalachia.
Okay.
And then another one I heard earlier, I think, was Appalachia. And I was like, that sounds like a name. Like, yo, hey, Appalachia.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to say Appalachia.
Wow.
I just got it wrong. Appalachia.
Yes.
Because that's how I understand it. So anyway, let's talk about some of the legends and spooky stories there. So something I think everybody needs to understand about this region, that it is very rich in history. It is also very much culturally blended. First of all, there were indigenous people that were there before the Europeans. Native Americans had a lot of their own folklore that was seeped into European folklore, which is one of the reasons that it has like a unique spookiness to it. Mm-hmm. Because you can kind of feel some of the Native American folklore intertwined with European folklore, and it just has this like very old kind of spookiness to it. Mm-hmm. But the European influences in that region are English, Scottish, French, and German. So of course, people that immigrate over to America came with their own beliefs and their own lore and then blended it with the indigenous people that were there.
Okay.
So additionally, the natural environment of Appalachia region, with its dense forests, rugged mountains, and rural landscapes, played a key role in bringing these superstitions to life. These beliefs would often revolve around agricultural and natural phenomena. Think like weather, plants, animals, and celestial events. This is also evident in how Appalachian farmers would plant based on the moon cycles, which they continue to do to this day.
That's pretty cool.
So a quick blast from the past, now getting into legends and lore. The first legend, and probably most well-known in the area, is that of the Bell Witch. Did a full episode in our early days of the Bell Witch. I think it was like episode maybe number three?
It was three or four, yeah.
Yeah, so go check that out for the full episode, but a little refresher. The Bell Witch was centered around the Bell family and their farm in the 1800s in Robertson County, Tennessee. The poltergeist that is haunting the area is named Kate. We don't know what happened between the Bell family and this entity, but she definitely had an issue with them, especially John Bell. She would pull blankets off their beds, knock on the walls. She would speak or sing hymns. And of course, in one famous incident, Andrew Jackson, the not yet president at the time, had an encounter with the Bell Witch. Some of her craziest abilities were being clairvoyant and being able to cross distances far and wide. So I'm going to leave that one there because I did want to mention the Bell Witch because she is famous in the Appalachia region.
Wow, you just really killed yourself there, when you?
Well,
I'm going to say
I think I just adopted myself into the region. Okay, it's Appalachia.
Okay.
Maybe that's also just like a Texas accent coming out. Like, maybe it does feel more normal to say that. I don't know. But anyway, go check out that episode. That is a story there. The next one that gives me the heebs and has for years is the Mothman.
Ooh, I love the Mothman.
Yeah. So the legend of the Mothman starts in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. The Mothman is a winged humanoid. So like, think of a human bird hybrid, mm-hmm. with glowing red eyes, standing larger than the average man, so let's say like 7 to 8 feet tall. The Mothman sightings were at its peak in the 1960s. Specifically, many reported accounts were between November 15th, 1966 to December 15th, 1967, so 13 months. So the first account came from a group of grave diggers, which while working, they spotted what looked like a huge, quote, brown human being, end quote, moving rapidly tree to tree.
That's scary. In a graveyard.
And multiple people saw it. They reported the incident. 3 days later, two couples, so four people, were sitting in a car when in front of them was a 7-foot tall winged creature. They described the creature with red glowing eyes and with a 10-foot wingspan. Did say it was clumsy, like running on the ground, but once it took off into the air, it moved about 100 miles an hour.
Doesn't the Mothman kind of remind you of Jeepers Creepers?
Literally, I was just thinking about Jeepers Creepers, yes. And I was like, I wonder if Jeepers Creepers was inspired by the Mothman. Yes. It definitely does.
That's a scary one. I haven't seen it in years.
That is. Since you brought that up, did I already tell you this? That, remember, he comes every 23rd spring?
Oh, and yeah.
This is the 23rd spring since the movie?
Yes.
Guys, he's out now.
He's out.
So God. Be careful on those back roads, because whatever the Jeepers Creepers creature is out now.
Yeah.
He's feeding.
Thank goodness I live in the city.
Every 23 years for 23 days?
Yeah.
All right.
For 23 hours.
A day. So they said he was a clumsy runner and that once he got into the air, it was about 100 miles an hour. He had chased a few vehicles before disappearing into a field. And like I said, this was witnessed by four people. So you either have four liars or several witnesses.
Yeah.
Over the next year, the Mothman sightings grew exponentially. Two witnesses were volunteer firefighters that saw a, quote, large bird with large red eyes. Another account was Newell Partridge. He said that he was watching TV one evening and the picture on the television was making weird shapes. So he thought maybe it's a bad connection. And then suddenly he heard a sound from outside, so he grabbed his flashlight and went to the window, and reflecting back at him were two red eyes. And it's kind of like bicycle reflector type eyes.
Yeah, what is with the red eyes?
I don't know, but it's a little sinister.
Yeah.
Like, do you know any good creatures, like, with red eyes?
No.
No. Like, even the bunnies with red eyes, I'm pretty sure those are Satan's bunnies. Yeah, like, they don't scary. Look right. Those bunnies really creep me out.
They're terrifying.
So yeah, he saw reflecting red eyes back at him and this like towering creature much taller than he was. And while the figure ultimately disappeared into the night, so did the partridge dog, who was never seen again after the sighting of the Mothman.
Oh, poor pup.
So they are wondering if Mothman took a snack. What's most mysterious about the Mothman is the Silver Bridge collapse. And this is, I mean, it's in the movie. It's the event most closely related to the Mothman. So this is where the creature is possibly associated with doom. So maybe Mothman is a symbol of something bad that is going to happen, or is a creature sinister altogether. Like maybe it was coming to Point Pleasant to take lives. We don't know. So let's talk about the Silver Bridge collapse. On December 15th, 1967, so 13 months after the original Mothman sighting, on this night, traffic was especially bad on Silver Bridge. The bridge was built in 1928 and connected Point Pleasant, West Virginia to, Gallopolis, Ohio. Now, cars in the 1920s, so like I said, the bridge was built in 1928. Cars in the 1920s were much lighter than cars in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
And just for comparison's sake, the Model T was 1,500 pounds, while the average vehicle in 1967 was 4,000 pounds.
Oh, wow.
So when the bridge was engineered, they took into account traffic, but they could not take into account or foresee cars were going to double in weight or more than double in weight. So during this heavy traffic time, the bridge was strained. While cars were sitting there, an eye bar near the top of the bridge cracked. Once that cracked, a chain snapped on the bridge and it completely lost equilibrium. It began to fall to pieces, leaving vehicles plunging into the Ohio River, which in December was freezing. The accident cost 46 people their lives and 9 injuries. Mothman and Silver Bridge were already feeling like a strange, terrible occurrence in Mount Pleasant, but that people were beginning to believe were related events. This was solidified in 1975 when John Keel published The Mothman Prophecies, which has since led to the movie, but many conspiracy theories that just ruled over the Mothman legend for decades. So today the legend is still very much alive and you can visit the 12-foot Mothman statue in Mount Pleasant today.
That's weird that they have a statue of him.
Yeah, I think there's also like a festival too.
Like, what if it comes back? That's not good news.
I thought the same because I'm like, didn't you think of it as like a creature of doom?
Yeah.
Doom, or it was coming to take lives, but either way, it's like not a positive figure.
Yeah, that's really strange.
But now you're most definitely using it for tourism.
Yeah, that's odd.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that, but that's just me.
It seems strange, but then I don't know. You think of how many people like, I mean, Pearl Harbor is a huge tourist attraction. I mean, it's historical. It's maybe those are different. I don't know.
They're a little different.
Well, in gravity, like they're different in like significance.
Yeah,
definitely. But I don't know. Like you can use that as a tourist attraction and like you make money from it is all I mean.
Yeah. But you're still seeing the ships.
Yeah. I mean, and learning history and like understand, like I get that. Like we went to Pearl Harbor, which was crazy.
It was sad.
It was sad. It was also very surreal because oil was still coming out of, I think it's the SS Alabama, but don't quote me on that.
It's Sounds like, about right.
But that was crazy. I mean, that was the early 2000s.
Yeah.
That attack was 1941. Okay, so another creepy story that we also did an episode on, who knew we spent so much time in Appalachia, was Dudley Town. So if y'all missed that episode, it's a town that has been abandoned but believed to be cursed. There were several disappearances with its inhabitants, and there were also suicides and insanity and lots of strange activity, which now make this place forbidden to visit, which makes it even more spooky. So go check out that episode if you have not.
The strange sightings of animals at night would freak me out.
Yeah.
Like, multiple people said they saw strange animals. What even is a strange animal?
Yeah.
Probably the Mothman.
Well, the Mothman is definitely a strange animal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the Devil's Tramping Ground is our next Appalachian spooky spot. So this is a forest. This is in the forest of Bear Creek, North Carolina. So this is a barren circle in the woods that has been subject of local legends and lore for decades. But like, more than decades, literally since at least 1882, this legend has been around.
A barren circle? Like, it's just a crop circle?
But it's in the middle of the woods, so yeah. Like a crop circle, but in a forest.
Yeah, it's just the area's flat.
Yeah, it's a circular area about 40 feet in square feet that can't grow anything except this, like, wiry kind of grass, but it, like, is almost nothing.
Okay.
Literally for over 100 years, nothing has grown there, and people have been researching it. It's also said that animals won't cross that piece of land.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah. Like, what's up with that? So the legend is that the devil comes out at night to either dance in the spot or paces in circles thinking how to wreak havoc on people.
That's kind of funny. Like, what am I going to do
that's
tonight?
That's his spot, okay? That's his thinking spot.
I need more kids.
People have tried leaving things in the circle, and in the next day, it's been thrown out of the circle. So, and people have even done this to, like, heavy objects. They'll put a heavy object in the middle of the circle and they'll come back the next day and it's outside of the circle.
That's weird. I keep thinking of one of those, like, Acme cartoons.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
put an anvil in the middle of it.
A giant, yeah, 1,000-pound anvil and then it's out of the circle. That would be something.
That would.
People have gone at night and seen red glowing eyes in the circle. One journalist did decide to go test the legend, or really he was actually trying to debunk it. He put his tent in the middle of the circle and then did sleep there overnight with his two dogs.
That's so scary.
Who does that? And how do you do that alone? Like, there's no way I'm not doing it with a ton of people.
Yeah.
That's... I mean, one, there's no way I'm doing it. But two, if somehow you did get me to do it, it's not by myself.
Yeah, just...
And like, I have five dogs. I don't even know which two I would trust to come with me to, like,
stay
be
by
there.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there'd be cameras out at night. Like, I don't know. I just can't with this.
Yeah, who does that? Let's debunk this. Plop right down in the
I'm
middle.
Good not being the one to debunk it. Like, if somebody wants to go do that, more power to them, I guess. But Blair Witch really traumatized me as a kid because, like, yeah. I saw that. I think I was in sixth grade when that came out.
Yeah.
And it freaked me out because it seemed like a real documentary, like lost footage that was found. Because yeah. It was at select theaters. Like, they did a really great job how they marketed that movie. Mom and I stood in line for a long time. It was like in Houston. Like, it was at an old timey theater in Houston.
Yeah.
And it freaking traumatized me. And I was like, I'm never going camping ever again.
I was traumatized just from you being traumatized.
Yeah, because I remember I came home, and obviously you were there because you lived there. But
did
I think,
I?
Yeah, yes, I think Jenny came to stay the night, and I was like pouring into you two, like, oh my god, like, I think they're trying to tell us that this isn't real, but it's real, you guys. Like, I was so freaked, and the movie still creeps me out.
Yeah,
and what's fascinating is, like, you don't even really see anything.
Those are the best kind of scary movies.
I know
though.
Because you know you're using my crazy messed up imagination to, like, fill in the spots, to fill yeah. in the blanks, and it's exactly what I did. I'm like, so imagining the freaking worst.
Yeah.
And just like, ugh, the creepiest when they, like, said the children would stand in the corner.
Oh.
And that's how that part of the movie, like, spoiler alert, but like, if you haven't seen Blair Witch by now, are you really going to? Yeah. We're like, she's looking for her friend and she goes and he's like staring into the corner. I'm like, oh no. Like, he's just, it's almost his turn. Like, it's just so creepy. Anyway, that movie made me not want to go camping anymore. And no, would I not be going into the devil's tramping ground to go like test a theory? So anyway, I didn't see anything about how the dog how the dogs managed through the night, but he did make it out safe. But he did say, this man debunking it, that in the middle of the night, there were footsteps circling him.
Ooh.
So
could be a hermit or it could be the devil.
What was that?
Yes.
I mean, I guess it could be an animal too. So yeah, there's that. That's creepy.
Wonder if he actually slept. Like,
I don't know.
What kind of sicko can sleep in that scenario?
Even when we went to the Galvez, I remember, sorry, I know I'm like totally just veering way off here, but I was having nightmares of the ghost in the Galvez. And it was weird because I was in the dream, I was in bed, in the bed I was in, and she was standing over me. And I was like, please stop. Like, leave me alone. Like in the dream, I was like creeped out because she was watching me. But then when I woke up, I'm like, why did I have a dream that I was laying here in this bed and she was watching me? Was she watching me or was I just dreaming? Like, I still don't know, but it creeps me out now.
You didn't tell me about that.
Oh, I thought I did because it was super weird.
Told me about the kid in the hallway and the drapes moving.
Yeah, the hotel does have like some stuff going on.
You going back soon?
Yep. Yep, we're actually booked to go in June. So yeah, we'll be there.
Have fun.
So then the other part is like, why does nothing grow there? You're in the middle of a pretty dense forest. So that's strange. So in 1946, they did conduct soil samples and determined that the soil is sterile, which answers why nothing grows there, but also why is it sterile?
Yeah.
Like why everything, it's a circle. Like why is everything around it fine, but that circle of land is sterile for at least over 100 years that we know of.
Well, a UFO could have zapped down and torched the earth.
That's a great logical solution.
I know.
Well, there's actually lots of, and I'm not even talking about it today. I think it's a story we'll save for another day, but there's the legend of the moon-eyed people who they look kind of like aliens.
Oh, never heard of them.
They're a Cherokee legend, but if you see, they're like, they found some like artifacts, I guess, that are moon-eyed people, and they look very much like we depict aliens. But
interesting.
You're talking about hundreds of years ago. But anyway, it's really interesting. I didn't even put it in today's stuff because I really, there was a lot here that I'm like, I'm just going to have to save that for another time.
Yeah, I look forward to that episode.
But it does make you wonder if in that area, maybe that was a landing pad. Who knows?
Maybe.
So one newspaper claimed in the 30s or 40s that it was a ceremonial land to indigenous tribes that predated Columbus. So maybe it was ceremonial land that they used that patch for something and now nothing can grow there. I don't know. In 1905, so again, look how like we're consistently going back. This legend does go back very far. It was reported that an Indian chief had been buried in that spot. It detailed that the tribe brought earth in blankets, which was probably clay type soil that can be seen there today, and it isn't conducive to growing much vegetation. So maybe it is a forever protected grave. Maybe after a chief was buried there, it was ceremonial land that was used for something. Who knows?
So homeboy just took it upon himself to sleep on someone's grave.
Yeah, but did he know it was someone's grave? I mean, how many graves do you think we walk on?
I know. We've had this discussion. It just seems so rude to do.
Like, we could be sitting over a dead body right now. My house is just bare, you know, on top of it.
Yeah.
We don't really know. So maybe it is a forever protected grave. But even people in 1882 heard stories from their grandparents that were there in America in the 1700s and said that land has not changed. So we definitely know since at least 1882, it has been barren, but it may go back nearly 300 years. The oral history continues to get passed down. And according to locals, that land has been barren since possibly before America was even founded. Paranormal investigators have been on and off investigating this area. There is a really creepy video I found from 2018. And it's kind of just like a half-hearted video in the sense that they weren't trying to shoot anything specifically, but he was just walking around with the camera kind of getting started, and you can see this kind of like fog-like apparition just moving very briefly in the background. And again, he's not intentionally recording, so he moves his camera away pretty quick, but it's really creepy.
Interesting.
And it's one of those I'm like, what could that, like, what is the logical explanation for that? Just a very small patch of fog moving by? Like, that would be strange. But it was a really interesting video.
I'm gonna have to watch that later.
Yeah, I have it on my computer. I can show you. So the next legend that really gives me the creeps and again prevents me from probably ever camping again is the Wendigo.
Ooh, I like the Wendigo.
And it is also a well-known native legend in Appalachia. Appalachia?
Oh, gosh.
Here we go again. Sorry. And the sightings go all the way up to Canada. So the Wendigo is a 15-foot tall, approximately, creature and an evil being.
Isn't it just like a cannibal? Like it was a person and it becomes...
Yeah, that's what, that's what I was about to say.
Well, so it was a person and then...
Sorry. So yeah, it so yeah, I'll get there. So sightings are usually in the winter months. Native tribes would claim that disappearances to their tribe members were due to the Wendigo. So according to legend, the Wendigo was a lost hunter. He was in the harsh winter of Appalachia when his hunger drove him to cannibalism. Upon eating human flesh, he began to go crazy, roaming the forest, just looking for more people to eat. He turned into a tall, emaciated looking creature with antlers. So the Wendigo is very unclean and smells of rot and decay. Some depictions of the Wendigo kind of give me Krampus vibes, except Krampus is more muscular, but like still, I even saw some where the Wendigo was not emaciated looking and I was like, how are you not Krampus? Like it was very, very similar with like the horns and everything, or the antlers, I'm sorry. So the scariest thing about the Wendigo is its mimicry skill. So it can mimic human voices. So it can sound like somebody you know, or if you're lost in the woods, it may call you by name to lure you. And this is where people get really creeped out. There was a commercial that just played.
Okay.
But you looked at it right when it ended, so then it looked like it was never there.
It's all in my head.
I have creepy woods ambiance like on my computer and it changed to a commercial for like a second. And then by the time Lainey looked, it was back to woods. Yeah. So that's one of the big legends where, again, like if something calls you by name, don't respond to it. Maybe that's the Wendigo. So if you respond, it will devour you and can turn you into a Wendigo yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there is actually a super creepy story about this too. In the 1800s, people believed the Wendigo was very much real. There wasn't a question if it was a legend or a story told to children to keep them out of the woods. People believe that the Wendigo could possess your body and turn you into a cannibal. And after you eat human flesh, that you would also turn into a Wendigo. There was what was known as Wendigo psychosis in the 1800s that a few people did suffer from.
Oh, that's weird.
And by that, I mean, yes, some Algonquin tribe people were cannibals believing to be possessed by the Wendigo. There was one native man named Swift Runner that suffered from Wendigo psychosis. He was over 6 feet tall, a trapper by trade, and a father to 6 children and a husband. He was a violent alcoholic and ended up getting fired and really struggled getting work, probably because being a violent alcoholic is not an ideal candidate for work.
I can't imagine that coming up in an interview.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a violent alcoholic, you know, just at night.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
In the dead of winter, 1878, Swift Runner gathered his family, which included his wife, 6 children, his wife's mother, and his brother, and headed for the woods. Skip two, several months later, Swift Runner comes out of the woods, stumbling, and is near a church at the time, a mission. When the priest asked him what happened, Swift Runner told the priest that his family was dead. He proceeded to tell the priest that his family members had starved to death in the woods. But this was puzzling to the priest because looking Swift Runner up and down, he seemed pretty healthy. So like, why would his family starve to death and he wouldn't?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least look emaciated like he was on the verge of starving to death.
Yeah, he ate them.
It did. Wow, spoiler alert.
I think the crowd got it too.
The Wendigo psychosis, that give it away?
Yes.
It didn't appear that he had been lacking any sort of sustenance while in the forest. And not to mention, it had been a great hunting season, so there wasn't any kind of food shortage. They left they let him stay at the church to recuperate, but he kept waking up with horrible night terrors, just screaming in the middle of the night.
Because you ate your family.
That's true. That's got to be hard to get over.
Yes.
And the priests were officially suspicious and fed up with him when Swift Runner tried luring some kids into the woods. And they were like, hey, okay, this guy is creepy. He's got a vibe about him.
Uh-huh.
So they called the authorities and he was arrested and questioned. The authorities ordered him to lead them to his campsite where he had been with his family and recount what had happened. After being misled a few times in the woods, they finally came upon the gruesome scene of Swift Runner's family. The campsite was covered in human remains. Broken bones were everywhere, all over the campsite. Again, 6 children, a wife, his mother-in-law, and his brother.
I'm sure he was thrilled about the mother-in-law, but the 6 kids.
Yeah. So you're talking 9 humans.
Yeah.
And it even said like bones were broken, marrow was taken out of it. So like he drank it or whatever you do with marrow. There was also a pot full of human fat.
Oh.
He had claimed that he had been possessed by the evil spirit of the Wendigo and murdered and ate his family. When he went to trial in 1879, the jury was not really going along with the Wendigo story. So he was guilty and he was hanged for his crimes. And he was actually the first man legally hanged in Alberta, Canada.
Wow. 1879 is really not that long ago.
It's not, but like also it was the 1800s. Like,
I know.
You also feel like people are, I don't know, maybe that's just my opinion. And maybe it's because communication is so much better now. Like, you feel like people have so much access that just to violence and just the things that could make you lose yourself in reality. Mm-hmm. That back then, I'm like, how did you lose a grip on reality so hard?
Yeah.
Like, in the 1800s, like, without TV and phones and computers and, like, all the things we have access to. Like, I feel like it's so much easier now to lose yourself in reality that I'm like, wow, what happened back then? Like, where were you?
Yeah.
So while the story is true, but also extreme, the Wendigo does serve as a tale and cautions that of greed and selfishness can lead to bad things. The Wendigo is also a symbol for gluttony and how it can lead to self-destruction. And while many people do not see the Wendigo, many people have said that they hear their names being called in the woods and strange mimicking noises.
Gosh, I want to go just to hear my name get called and then run away.
I'd never be the same. If I hear my freaking name being called, and that's why they're always, one of the, I guess I didn't put this as a rule, but there's a lot of locals that you're not supposed to call each other's names in the woods. Either like make up something else or whatever, but like don't use your real name in the woods. Why is that a rule?
Yeah, that's really creepy.
I mean, we have woods here. No one tells me that.
Our woods aren't that scary.
Apparently not.
And you seem upset about it.
I mean, I guess I'm glad, but like I'm still like considering not going camping ever again.
Oh, I love camping.
I love camping too, but now I'm just like, I don't know. Even last time we went camping, it was in the Sam Houston Forest. Mm-hmm. It was right by alligators, which, because it was right there on the lake, and there's a ton of them. And it was fascinating. Like, once it got dark at night, all you could see were glowing eyes in the water. And it was really interesting. But then when I went in our tent, and it was us in our tent for the first night, and there was nobody around us.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next night, there was an RV next to us. And I'm like, I kind of feel dumb being here in a tent, and they're, like, in a safe RV.
Yeah.
And I'm over here, like, in it. And every, like, crack of a stick or whatever, I'm like, that's a gator. Oh, this is it. Like, I'm wrestling a gator tonight.
That's so scary.
So, they don't mess with people for the most part. You know, alligators aren't stalkers like that, I guess. But your imagination goes wild in the middle of the night.
It does. I talked about camping with Julie in Arkansas until I learned that there were black bears in the woods. And she's just like, oh, just carry some black bear spray. Or bear spray. I don't know if they're specific.
Black bear spray.
Yes. I'm like, what? What if one is coming in our tent?
I've got my spray. Like, no. I don't know about
Sounds
that.
Sounds like a dumb commercial from the 90s.
Yeah. Bears, I love from afar, but I am okay not getting up and close and cozy with a bear.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I mean, the expression mama bear exists for a reason. They get hella pissed if they think you are possibly a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't explain to a bear that you're not a threat. I don't want your cubs and I have no intention of harming them. They don't know.
They don't.
So they're just going to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not for me. I don't know. I've really talked myself out of camping. Well, so
we'll talk you back into it.
One fun theory about the Appalachian Mountains is it's an old mountain range. And I mean, it's 500 million to a billion years old. Like, it's old. Mm-hmm. The Rocky Mountains in the United States are like a new mountain range. Appalachian, hella old.
I've never thought about that.
Yeah. So
where do mountains even come from?
Well, you think like Pangea, you know, when
separating, but why is it building? Well,
at one point there was collision, and tectonic plates. Like, that's what the Rocky Mountains are, tectonic plates that are colliding together.
Okay.
And so that builds a mountain range, but it can also do the opposite. There's different types of ways that, depending on how they collide, that's how it can create a volcano.
Interesting.
If they collide in a way where like one plate kind of dives under another plate, then it creates that opening for a volcano.
Okay.
Or if two plates just collide together and are driven up, that can create a mountain range.
Well, thank you for that. What Even Is a Mountain by Ashley DeBoer.
What Even Is a Mountain? Yeah. So the Appalachian Mountains has seen the birth of man and dinosaurs roam the earth. So that's how old it is. It's a spooky area that could easily have trapped spirits, entities that could have been there for millions of years. Like, we don't even know. That's why some of these stories, like, we know they're hundreds of years old, but especially in America, before hundreds of years old, you're talking Native American. So we don't know.
Yeah, and caveman.
And Native Americans have so much of an oral history and not a written history that we just don't know how far back it dates. So I have some arbitrary anecdotes.
Okay, bring it.
So there is a lot of fun superstitions in Appalachia. Here are a few from the Appalachian folklore, omens, signs, and superstitions.
Ooh.
I have five for you. So number one, if the flame of a candle flickers and then turns blue, there is a spirit in the room.
Okay. I haven't seen a blue flame before, but if I do, I'll know.
Who lit the black flame candle? If you feel a chill going up your spine, someone has just walked over your future grave.
That is terrifying.
That is really scary.
What? I felt a chill up my spine before. Where's my grave?
People are probably just walking all over it.
Ugh, that's so rude.
Number three, mourners should never allow their tears to fall on a corpse, as their sorrow will trouble the departed soul. So, like, that's a recipe for a ghost. Don't cry on a corpse.
I won't cry over your dead body.
Well, good, because I want to be cremated. So, like, step off.
Step off.
I did. I know this is probably, like, I don't know, maybe it's TMI, maybe it's not, because we don't talk about mourning very much. But I think I did cry over mom's body because, like, I didn't see her when she died. Like, the first responders wouldn't let me.
Mm-hmm.
But then when she was taken to the funeral home and, like, they put clothes on her, we were going to cremate her. I'm telling this to you guys. Lainey already knows that. Like, she was going to get cremated, but I really wanted to do her makeup and, like, talk to her. And so I did. I brought her. She loved Mary Kay. I brought her Mary Kay makeup and, like, did her makeup and talked to her. But I'm like, I did cry. Like, did I cry, like, hovering over your body? Now I don't remember.
Did a tear fall on her body is the question.
Right? I don't know. But I don't know. She, like, only visits me sometimes in my dreams.
Okay.
But, like, only when the light flickers am I like, Mom, is that you? I don't know. But I think she's okay. Maybe I didn't cry on her.
I hope not.
So number four, if a person is walking down the road on Halloween night and hears someone walking behind him, don't turn around because that may be death himself. And in looking, the person will forfeit their life.
Wait, repeat?
If a person is walking down the road on Halloween night and hears someone walking behind them, don't turn around because it may be death themselves. And if you look at death, you are giving up your life.
Okay.
So if you hear someone walking behind you on Halloween, just don't turn around.
It's probably a bunch of kids.
And it's probably going to be a Wendigo calling your name. So, like, don't answer either. Just don't answer. And our last one for today, never look in the mirror by candlelight for too long or else you may see the devil looking back at you.
That's terrifying.
I thought that was a good last one.
I have candles in my bathroom all the time.
Well, have the light on. Don't look just by candlelight.
Yeah, I do. That shelf by my mirror.
What? That's creepy, Lainey.
Not like all the time, but like if I'm home alone, the bathroom's open, so there's other light coming in. I'm peeing and washing my hands by candlelight.
At the same time?
No.
It's a tradition.
But I'm looking
in the mirror. I have a fake candle that like turns on every night in the bathroom. I mean, I guess I don't turn on the light at night and I just,
yeah.
Does fake candle count? Probably not.
Probably not.
Okay, I'm okay with that. I mean, you're risking your own life, yes. But that's fine.
Okay. Don't cry over my body.
I won't. So that won't be the last we hear of Appalachia. What an incredibly spooky area that I really can't wait to explore more. So if you would like to send us a recommendation or a haunted house spooky story, you can email us at hauntedrepod@gmail.com. And if you have not already, please go follow us on Instagram at haunted.real.estate. And please, if you could rate and review us on your preferred podcast platform. We would so appreciate it. It helps us get more listeners like you. And lastly, if you are looking for an agent in the Houston market, give myself or Casey, my husband and partner, a try. We'd be honored to assist you in helping you buy or sell. Just go ahead and email us at hauntedrepod@gmail.com and we'll get you to the right place. Lainey, do you have anything else you would like to add?
No, I think this is a great episode for our 50th, and we really love our fans for being there and supporting us all the way through.
Yes, all 12 of you guys. No, I'm just kidding. No, we do. We really appreciate it, you guys. It's been really fun. So happy 50th anniversary.
Happy 50th anniversary,
we're
sister.
We're so old.
So old. I love you.
Catch my dentures.